Hello everyone and welcome. Hello everyone and welcome back to another new episode of the New Generation Sports Report podcast. I'm your host, Tanner Mondock. I am joined by Ty and Rob, who I can barely see behind my monitor because we're in a new setting here for this one. Everything's all a little bit out of whack here as I, you know, was clipping there at the beginning. That's why I reacted like that, because I'm still trying to figure out these settings and just the new room we're sitting in. Basically, we're in my office recording this because some things are going on in the podcast studio. It's a little loud in there and it's quiet in here, but now things are just a little bit different. I'm just kind of getting used to that. A bit more of an echo in here. I have such a huge office. I'm such a important person. It's so huge and massive and big windows in here. Isn't it gorgeous in here? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's actually anything but that. Actually,
it's a closet.
Basically. Yeah, it's a closet. There's no windows. I have nice string lights, though, up on the lights you'd see, like, hanging up, like, on a back patio or something, hanging up, because I hate fluorescent lighting, so it's very dim in here, very dark, so it should be, you know, actually pretty, like, laid back doing this in here, because, you know.
I like the Pirates helmet.
There is a little, here. Yes, Pirates helmet that Lynn Saturnow left behind that it's just now on my desk, so go Bucks. All right, so... Let's, I can barely see, I can't see Rob at all, actually, behind my monitor here. There he is. Ty, I can see between my laptop monitor and my other monitor here, but a little bit of a different setup, but enough about the things you literally cannot see. Let's get into District 10 Championship Weekend and what a championship weekend it was. I don't think that I have seen two better District 10 championship games of football since I have been here. I've been here since 2019. These are definitely the two best I've seen in my short time here at the Herald. So let's just get started with Friday night's Class 3A championship. We were out in Greenville for this one. This, of course, was Sharon Hickory yet again going for the Class 3A title. Hickory, past 2 years they had won this thing, but finally, Sharon was able to take down the Hornets with a 20-17 win.
Yeah, Sharon definitely came into this one as the underdogs.
Yeah.
But man, their defense really just continues to impress me, and they continue to get better every week. You know, this was the kind of game where when Hickory is a guy like Kelvin Morrison, we expect him to kind of go off and take over. But he was never really able to get himself going. Sharon's defense game planned around it, and they made sure to kind of neutralize him.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Dungy still scores 2 touchdowns, still close to 100 yards. But, I mean, that offense just looked out of sync for the majority of the game. And Sharon, they have to overcome. They lose Ethan Englemore during that game. They got to bring Gafir Lampkins in. But they're still able to just generate enough offense and keep Hickory contained enough that they're able to put themselves in position to get the ball with about 3.5 minutes left. From then, they give the ball to Terrion White and try to just chew as much clock as possible. And they're able, Yosef Cannon's able to hit a 35-yard field goal with about 30 seconds left to seal the game for them.
Yeah. Actually, it might be Yusuf.
Yusuf?
Yeah. Want to make sure, got to get his name right because, man, 35-yarder, game winner? How often do we see that in high school?
Never at the high school level.
You never see that. But, yeah, you talk to him. I mean, this is a kid. Kickers, how often do they get interviewed after a game, you know?
It was the type of interview where I walk up to him. He doesn't know the protocol. He's like, can you just give me the questions now? And, you know, I'll come up with my response. I'm like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
It's a situation where he's not someone that has to be relied on very often. But if you ask any of those guys in the Sharon locker room, they knew that eventually he was going to get a game winner. He's been a good enough kicker that they were ready for it. So everyone was just thrilled that he was finally able to do it, and in such an important game too,
for a District 10 title. I mean, this was definitely one of the more chaotic celebration scenes I've been a part of. I mean, students are storming the field, parents are starting to, you know, like, crowd the field and everything. I mean, everyone was just going wild here. I mean, they wanted this thing. A lot of high emotions there. And it was cool, too, seeing Coach Mack and Yusuf, while everyone was celebrating, you know, he went up to him, you know, it was just like he had his hand on his head, you know, just like talking to him about that moment and everything. And just, yeah, that was really cool. And then, of course, when me and Bob Greenberg were trying to get everyone to back up, all the parents to back up, so we could fit everyone in the frame for the team picture with the trophy at the end, because all those parents wanted that picture too. And it was this huge wall, and we're standing on top of the team, and we're both like, hey, back up, we gotta get this picture. So yeah, everyone was clearly very, very excited about this. That was quite the scene.
Yeah.
After
I want to add to this field goal a little bit too.
Yeah.
I should also mention, so this is from on the right hash, which Cannon said it was his bad hash. He was very worried about missing. If he's to miss, it's usually from that hash, he said.
Wow.
And with Engelmore going down, Lampkins is the holder.
Mm-hmm.
Engelmore's been the holder for the last 4 years for Sharon.
Right.
So this is all new. I mean, they were having serious discussion on the sideline, you know, can he make it? Is this something to go? But Cannon was calm, collected, he wanted it, and I mean, he did it perfectly.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, what a game this was. But so yeah, the Tigers, they are moving on. They're the District 10 champions in Class 3A. So they are moving on to the state quarterfinals. On Friday, they will be playing Penn Cambria at Clarion University. So see what happens there. It's looking like that's where we are going to end up, by the way, on Friday. Some other things could possibly change that, but it's looking like that's where we're going to be. We're still trying to figure out some of our coverage for some of the other games too, but as of Tuesday, I think we might be able to cover that one. But all right, so that was just Friday, but Saturday had some more excitement in store for us. This is the Class 1A championship over at Hornet Stadium in Hermitage. This was Greenville, Wilmington. Again, another matchup we keep getting in this game. Wilmington, they won last year. They also won the regular season matchup too this season. But yeah, after a hour-long lightning delay, which that was a first for me, ended up being Greenville getting the win here, 25-22.
Yeah, I'll start talking about Wilmington.
Yeah.
Offensively, Chase Mitchell-Tree, we know what he's capable of doing, and he did it again.
That is the offense.
180 yards, 3 touchdowns. He dominated once again.
Yes.
Unfortunately for him, it felt like a lot of things around him couldn't get going. You know, they didn't really attempt a pass until the fourth quarter.
Right.
And so they're trying to mix a couple other guys in the running game. Nothing's working great for them. Greenville came prepared for that. And then on Greenville's side, I mean, Cale Thurber played his butt off in that game.
Yes.
That was impressive to watch. One of the best quarterback displays of a game I've seen.
In a game that wasn't ideal conditions either
to
throw the ball. I mentioned, you know, the lightning delay. It wasn't raining the entire game, but it was like off and on. So, I mean, that ball was slick. The field was slick.
It was cold. It was windy. Yeah. I mean,
it was not a good day to be throwing the ball. Yeah. And he looked good.
Yeah, he was so mobile back there. I mean, he extended plays like I have not seen before. He several times flip field, went sideline to sideline in that backfield, not being able to get brought down.
Yeah.
It was impressive to watch.
We were impressed with him too when they played earlier this season. So we knew, he was, one of our better quarterbacks in the area, but we hadn't seen him in weeks now. That was since week one, but we'd see a stat line or whatever. So to see him again here, like, okay, yeah, this is.
See him. And just see him take over like that. It was insane. He rushes for 2 touchdowns in that game. Rudy Gentile rushes for 2 touchdowns. But with all of this, they were still losing with about 4 minutes left.
Yes.
And they have to go on this drive. But right when they cross midfield, that's when the rain delay happens. So for an hour, they got to go sit in the locker room, try to stay focused because they're so close to scoring and taking a lead.
They had the momentum.
They did.
Before, they saw that lightning off in the distance and the officials decided to, that's 30 minutes. And going longer than that, but they had the momentum, and it's like, how do you then keep that momentum going after just sitting there cold for an hour, midfield, 4 minutes left, you're trying to win a D10 title,
But sure enough, they come out, they pick up a first down on, the first or second play back from the break, but they do put themselves into a 4th and 16.
Yeah.
And it looks like Wilmington has a chance to end this game. But Cale Thurber, he takes a snap. He dances around the backfield for what felt like forever.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, he finds Hunter Cox, which, from what I was told, the play was designed to go to Justin Schell. and then Keith Covert.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys were guarded well by Wilmington. So, I mean, we're improvising. We're on the third option on this play.
Yeah.
Gets Hunter Cox. Hunter Cox catches it probably 4 or 5 yards away from the first down, and mm-hmm. he just fights his way to pick it up.
Yep.
Just absolute heroics on that play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're able to score a touchdown from the goal line a few plays later and take that lead. And at that point, Wilmington has to now throw the ball.
Yeah.
Something that they had not done all game long. So just a difficult situation for them. You know, this is a team that runs the wing tee and runs it every play. They come out in a shotgun formation, which
I don't think I've ever seen Wilmington.
They were
in a shotgun.
Five wide at some point. I mean, these are plays that it's clear they were not practicing every day in practice. So, you know, Keith Covert got an interception that made them have to burn all their timeouts. And then at that point, they just weren't able to move the ball. And
right.
Greenville did enough to come away with this one.
Yes. So, yeah, for the first time since 1999, the Trojans are D10 champions with a 25-22 win over Wilmington. So they are moving on to the state quarterfinals, and they are going to play Port Allegheny at Corey High School on Friday. So that's everything for me and Ty there. Man, what a two games those were. That was quite the weekend. And honestly, it was much needed. Just, I mean, every game the playoffs so far have been just complete blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
So to then get two of the best games, you know, in a while, in one weekend there with a trophy on the line, that was a fun weekend with two good games to cover there for sure. All right, so Farrell, if you remember, we talked about their championship game last week. They're a week ahead, so they had a state first round matchup. Rob, tell us a little bit about what happened with Farrell.
Yeah, the Steelers beat Carn City on the road 48-20 at Carn City. Jules Johnson putting on another show. He had 82 rushing yards, and he caught 7 passes for 124 receiving yards, and he had those 4 touchdowns, 3 short touchdown runs, and he caught a 44-yard touchdown pass from Anthony Pagese. Marshall, he had a pair of touchdown runs. And Nemo Jones, he hauled in an 8-yard touchdown pass from Pagese. Aaron Pagese was 14 of 16 for 215 yards. And they advanced to play Richland. That game's Friday night, 7 o'clock kickoff at Armstrong High School. Way down in Katanning.
That's right.
That's a long haul, yeah.
That is a far drive. Been there a couple times for multiple sports, but yeah, it's a long drive.
Let's see here. I guess I'll move on to...
Actually, before you say that, it's a little weird, isn't it, that all games are on Friday? I wasn't really expecting that.
Yeah,
that's a... that wasn't great when I saw that.
Yeah, obviously, yes, because then we have 3 to choose from on one day instead of maybe having one on Saturday that we can, you know, easily get to, but yeah, anyway, just thought that was interesting that all games ended up being on Friday night. But yeah, so we do have a full slate of college though to talk about, right?
Yeah, there is. Teal College, they closed out their season with a 67-0 loss at Washington and Jefferson. So the Tomcats went 1-9 this season. Not too many stats to report. Let's see here. Matt Jordan, who went to Kennedy, he was one of 3 players that led the team with 11 tackles, 4 solo. Jake Badger from Mercer, he had 10 tackles, 3 solo. Javier White, he from Sharon, he returned 3 kickoffs for 32 yards. He had 5 carries for 1 yard. Rough day for the Tomcats, that's for sure. Liam Campbell, by the way, and from Sharpsville, and Luke Edwards from Wilmington. They play for W&J. W&J is the PAC champs this year. So Campbell, he had 2 punts for 70 yards on Saturday, and Edwards, he returned 2 kickoffs for 16 yards. Westminster, they had a 57-14 win against St. Vincent. That game was in Latrobe. Titans are 7-3. Quentin Good, 22 of 32 for 240 yards with 4 touchdown passes. Clayton Cannon Jr., He led the ground game, 14 carries, 48 yards, and a touchdown. Mitchell Tingley from Lakeview, he had 3 carries for 12 yards. Bright Cannon, he was the top receiver, 6 catches for 113 yards, and he pulled in 3 touchdown catches. Tingley also had 1 catch, but it was for minus 5 yards. Lamont Austin from Sharon, 3 solo tackles. Grove City College, they finished their regular season with an 8-2 record. They blew out Hiram 63-14 on the road. That's their 7th straight win. Ethan Wiley from Mercer, he went 10-14 for 163 yards with 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. Mike Holloman, he also played quarterback, 9-16 for 107 yards and a touchdown pass. Chase Rankin, he led the Wolverines on the ground at 92 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. Daniel Sullivan, 4 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. Shepard Miller had 2 touchdown runs. Jace Herrick from Greenville, he had a 12-yard pick 6 in the 4th quarter. And he had 3 tackles on defense, 1 solo. And Wiley actually had 1 solo tackle, and the same with Ryan Montgomery from Slippery Rock. They play. I'll mention the games this weekend. Grove City's playing in the Division III playoffs.
Right.
Let's see. Slippery Rock University, they closed out their season with a 6-4 record. They suffered a 30-24 overtime loss on the road at Bloomsburg. KJ Riley, he scored on a 1-yard run in overtime. That was the game winner. SRU quarterback Daywan Owens, 13-26 for 179 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception. J.J. Jordan, he rushed for 181 yards and 2 touchdowns. John Sabo from Slippery Rock, 2 catches for 13 yards for the Rock. Michael Henwood from Hickory, he led the team in tackles with 9, 7 solo. And YSU, they beat Indiana State 48-29 at Stambaugh Stadium.
And Brungard had yet another crazy day.
His numbers this year are crazy.
I think he's going to win, the Walter Payton Award.
Yeah.
For the FCS. I mean, he's just, what a year he's having.
He was 23-30 for 264 yards with 3 touchdown passes. And he rushed for 90 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Kylon Wilson from Farrell, he had a 20-yard touchdown catch in the 2nd quarter. He had 61 receiving yards, 6 catches. He also returned 3 kickoffs for 90 yards. Max Tomczak, he was the leading receiver for the Penguins. 7 catches for 109 yards. And let's see here. YSU, they close out the regular season this Saturday at the University of Northern Iowa. That game's at 2 o'clock. Grove City College, they play at Hanover, Indiana. That game's at noon Saturday. And Westminster, they're in that Open Doors Bowl series that they were in last year.
Mm-hmm.
Extra Points Bowl. They play Mount St. Joseph at 6 o'clock Saturday at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. And that's it for college. You know, I have a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
Erie Times News, they're releasing like the all-region teams.
Uh-huh.
So far they've put out girls tennis and golf. Hickory's Julia Missouri, Player of the Year for girls tennis. Boys golf, LJ McGonigal from Greenville was the Region 1 Player of the Year. Santino Toscano from Wilmington, Region 2 Player of the Year. And they released the girls golf on Tuesday. Kate Sowers, of course, Region 1 Player of the Year. Also wanted to mention, I mean, I'm sure everyone knows this by now, but College Hoops is underway. You know, you had the Buzz Riddle Classic down at Westminster over the weekend with Westminster Teal and Penn State Chenango. SRU, they played in the Atlantic Region Challenge at the Rock, and you got Ike Hurster and Maceo Austin from Kennedy, and Max Staunch. They're still playing for the Rock. Kelsey Seddon from Lakeview up at Teal. Grace Cano's at Grove City. She's from Greenville. And Penn State Shenango has Gabby King from Farrell, Bree Krenzer from Grove City, and Kimora Roberts from Hickory. And I guess that's pretty much it, you know. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. So, yeah, what, that'll pretty much it. You won't have a schedule to run through either then, right?
What?
You won't have a schedule to run through either because, I mean, we pretty much talked about it all.
Yeah, we did, yep.
All right. Then we have reached the end of the show. but before we do that, let me tell you about Endzone. That is SharonHarrell.com/Endzone. That's where we're putting all our football coverage. Might not have a lot of time left to check out Endzone. Who knows? It could all be over this weekend or the weekend after that. Probably a couple, maybe, you know. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen? It's that time of year. But anyway, that is SharonHarrell.com/Endzone. That's where you can find all of our football coverage. Game stories, previews, photo galleries, you know, whatever. That's where it's at. SharonHarrell.com/Endzone. And with that, that'll do it this week on the New Generation Sports Report podcast. We are here on Wednesdays. You can find us at SharonHarrell.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I want to thank you all for tuning in every week and listening to us talk about some local sports. Ty, Rob, thanks for joining me in my office today. And we will talk to you next week.